When did you last experience an artwork that required all your senses, where vision was only one layer? Well, my guest this morning transforms gallery spaces into humming electric installations through an alchemy of moving sculptures, lights, sometimes dancers, and always sound. Strange sounds, like the ones you've just heard. Haroon Mirza is an installation artist, a composer, and he plays with perceptions in a fascinating way. He's in Australia with an exhibition and the new work at the Australian Centre for Contemporary Art in Melbourne for the Melbourne Festival. Haroon, thank you so much for coming onto The Art Show.
Hi, pleasure to be here.
Haroon, when did you first start using sound within your art?
I guess I always used sound as a kid. You know, I was always into music and played with things, but I guess it emerged in my work while I was studying as a sort of byproduct. I was studying design at the time, and it kind of emerged as a byproduct of, like, I was trying to design autonomous systems, and somehow I sort of accidentally made the sound of electricity audible by connecting LED lights to amplified speakers, and that sort of grew as a process. And but because I was so into music and sound and acoustic space, it kind of became the sort of more predominant part of my practice.
Yeah. So you've been a DJ with sound as well. What sort of work were you doing as a DJ?
Originally, I was just doing, like, you know, playing at parties, friends' parties, and like private parties, and then during studying, I would set up student nights with some other friends, and we'd do student parties, and then residencies in local bars and clubs, and so it's kind of more like a supplement to to studying more than anything else, but more like something quite fun rather than, you know, like a serious. I was never into the idea of staying up all night every weekend.
Okay. Like we might imagine a lot of DJs do.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy it, but I wouldn't. I don't think it would have been something I sort of wish to do.
Yeah. Now, Haroon, can you tell me about the construction of an act? This is your new work for the Melbourne International Arts Festival. So let's imagine that I'm going into the show now. What am I going to experience?
So you're basically going to see, in the first instance, sort of quite a standard sort of installation show of objects, sculptures, video, objects in the space. It's quite minimal, actually. But then I guess you'll sort of begin to discover that all the works are somehow connected to one another, and it's more of a scenography, a set, than an installation of discrete artworks. And then you'll find people working in the space. First up will be James Rushford, a composer from Melbourne, who will be composing additional sound and music to go along with the already, you know, the installed works, the scenography, and the existing sounds in the space. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be a choreographer coming in, Julie Cunningham, who will be producing a new dance piece with what's there already, including James's sound. So it'll slowly become this sort of quasi-operatic work. There's also a soprano that will be singing as part of James's composition.
What is it about, Haroon? What are the ideas behind your work?
I mean, this, on a surface level, is kind of about the mechanics of opera in a way, but starting with the scenography, which is sort of kind of unconventional in some ways,
yeah.
And it's about the mechanics of its own construction. So it's got quite of a postmodern sort of idea around it. But then the subtext to this is a kind of a story that came to my attention a couple of years ago about a murder of a woman in the Amazonian rainforest, a shaman who was known internationally as Maestra Olivia. And she was from the Shipubu tribe. And I'd included a video of her, which is on YouTube, which is currently on YouTube now, singing Ikoro, which is a song sung in the within that tribe as a form of healing. And it came to my attention that she'd been murdered. A journalist had been in touch with the studio and to ask if I had any comments on her murder, which I didn't, because it was kind of a strange thing to be asked.
Yes.
And I found out that she'd been sort of murdered by a Canadian man that had gone to the gone there for supposedly healing purposes, but he was a bit unhinged and ended up murdering this woman. And then people from the tribe then murdered her, murdered the man, and sort of escaped into the jungle. So it was a bit of a, you know, it was a bit of a mess.
Wow. So you've included the sound of her singing?
No, there's nothing from this story that's in the work itself. I had her Ikoro, her song. I worked with the Peruvian Cultural Institute to have the song translated, and then I had that translated firstly into Spanish and then into English, and then from that I kind of wrote another text, which will be sung by the soprano. But there's no content from the piece itself, or okay. So there's nothing literal that's taken from it. It's just more like a sort of framework, which is a universal story about. I mean, the sort of the basis is this idea of sound as healing, which is becoming quite a sort of common thing, which is, you know, people are exploring quite a lot these days, especially the voice, and things like Tibetan singing bowls and so on and so forth. But then also this tragic event of this man that comes, that's unhinged, and he's come for healing, but he ends up murdering this woman. And so it's kind of, there's this sort of story which is a subtext, but then it's evolved into some kind of like quasi sci-fi narrative. So it's more like a basis for a narrative rather than the narrative itself.
Oh, okay, I understand now. And Haroon, you have, as I've read, you'll have a studio that people, that artists will be able to come and visit and work in for doing residences for like a week or whatever within the artwork, is that correct?
Yeah.
So how will that work?
Yeah, so where you'd normally enter the galleries, you normally would enter Gallery 1, which is the large space at Akka. There's kind of a wall there and a window, and behind that window you'll see the studio where people like James and Julie will be based and developing their work there, to, you know, which will end up in the show itself, which will end up part of the makeup of the exhibition.
Okay.
But they, you know, but them working on it is also part of what's on view, let's say.
Yeah. Haroon, you're well known for acknowledging, well, first of all, for having collaborators and for fully acknowledging them as named members of your studio. Why is it that you do that? What was the thought process behind that? Because so many artists have collaborators but then don't acknowledge them.
Yeah, I think it's just a sort of condition of the, you know, the art world. People, I mean, I'm calling it the art world, but it's an industry like anything else.
Mm.
Any other industry, the music industry, the film industry. Somehow there's this idea that the art world is this magical place where this magical stuff happens. And actually there's lots of people involved, you know. So it was almost, you know, I've always worked with people. I've always collaborated on projects. So that's always been a part of what I do, and it's almost more interesting to work with other people than to sort of kind of be influenced by their ideas, if you know what I mean.
Yes, absolutely.
And so if I like something or admire something, then I kind of, you know, want to work with admire someone's work or like them, then I kind of want to work with them.
Yes.
And but then, you know, all exhibitions are made up of so many different things and people involved, and it's nice to kind of bring that up onto the same level. There's no hierarchy, and it's more like a web of things that have come together, and it's just nice to be more transparent about that process.
Haroon, do you think that people absolutely have to come and visit your artwork to fully comprehend it and to be able to kind of, I suppose, assimilate it into our own lives? Or can you experience it still strongly by watching videos, let's say, on the internet or the TV? Or listening to it?
No, not at all. I mean, yes, absolutely, people have to visit it, just because it's a very experiential thing. You know, it's very visceral, and it's, I mean, and the cognition of it is very, I mean, just the sound of live electricity does something different when you hear it recorded. I mean, you just played a little excerpt, and it sounds so different to that in space, because, you know, the sound, the electrical signal is a very dry sound, but especially in a space like Akka, where it's huge and has a lot of reverberation, the dynamic of that sound changes incredibly. And being within the space and the architecture, and hearing multiple channels of sound, you know, pieces that are in surround sound, and you can isolate each individual sound coming from eight different spots of the room, and it's there's light, which is the same signal that you're hearing, so you've got this synesthetic sort of thing going on. Absolutely, you have to be there. I have to document my work just for documentation purposes, but I find it very difficult to view or look at or listen to reproduced versions of my work, because you kind of lose about 80% of it.
That's such a huge amount. Well, Haroon, thank you so much for coming onto the Art Show and explaining your work, and clearly people are going to, if they can, go and visit your installation in Melbourne and get the full 100%.
Sure, yeah, please do.
Thanks. Haroon Mertz's exhibition, The Construction of an Act, is on at Akka in Melbourne. That's from this Saturday until November the 17th. So you've got a little bit of time. And that's for the Melbourne International Arts Festival.